invited to participate in a learning experience as you join us right here on Talk Radio. You'll meet new and interesting people. You'll hear fresh and stimulating ideas. You'll be a part of what Talk Radio is all about. Talk Radio is...
Bill Jenkins.
Welcome to a Saturday night. It's time for Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we want to stretch yours, educate yours a little bit, give you some new things to think about. And do we have a thinker with us tonight to lead us along the way? It's a lady that I've wanted to have on the show for a long, long time. I know I've received so many requests from so many of you to have her aboard, and tonight she is here, Dr. Safika Karagula. Dr. Karagula, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you.
And congratulations on those two wonderful, wonderful books of yours. Breakthrough in Creativity was one of the early books for me in learning about what I was going to deal with this thing we call the open mind monster. And your latest one, Through the Curtain, of course, is fascinating about where we are really learning things and how we can tap that extrasensory perception or higher perception.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on around us? Do we see changes happening in the way we're teaching ourselves and learning?
I think there are tremendous changes taking place if we look at the world around us, both in science, in technology, in social revolutions, in the concepts of our attitude to each other. And a lot of people are interested in their own consciousness. I think 17 years ago or 15 years ago, nobody would speak of consciousness, and now everybody speaks of consciousness,
higher consciousness. It's a buzzword now, isn't it?
It is a buzzword.
We need to find a new word for it.
I think man is the mystery, and I think once we understand him, it will help us to understand a lot of things around us. And
the key word right now is change, it seems like. We pointed out before, it seems like all of the things that we're doing, whether it is in the manner in which we govern ourselves, the manner in which we provide goods and services, the manner in which we interrelate, the manner in which we develop our science is not working like it used to. It's not working as well as it used to. The old techniques are not achieving for man the things man wants for them now. It's as if there has been an inner awakening in people everywhere. And what happened in the past is just not good enough anymore. Do you sense that?
Yes, I agree 100%. And I think maybe Through the Curtain, which is the new book which I just published with Dr. Viola Pettit-Neal and myself, this was a knowledge which we obtained for 25 years and we never said anything about it. I think the time was not yet. And I was glad that before she passed on, that she agreed that the book should be published. And most of the material is out. There are maybe a few things that was time is not yet for people because it may be confusing for them to comprehend it. But I think Through the Curtain is a very unusual book, perhaps for the first time in the history of humanity that I'm aware of, that a student who, while they go to sleep, there are two dimensions of sleep. We've got a lot of people dreaming of dreams, have been a lot of interest in dreams and people trying to recall their dreams. But beside dreams going into the, what is usually known, into the emotional dimension or the astral world, there are people who can pass during the sleep state from that dimension to the mental world around us, which is equally around us. And during that, they are aware of classes, lectures, and they are trained in many dimensions, depending on their own interests. Maybe writing, getting new concepts. And this book, Through the Curtain, unusual because part of the book, I was permitted to ask questions while the student, in this case it was Dr. Viola Pettit-Neal, in a night class and recorded. And then the next morning, she would be able to repeat verbatim what the night class was about.
Now, we should be very careful and point out that the night class you're talking about was not going down to the local university or college or high school.
No. It was not.
This was something happening in an altered state of consciousness, perhaps.
It was a sleep. It was a new dimension of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we call the book Through the Curtains is because the person passed through a curtain of energy, or when they came to discuss the idea with me, they will come and stand in this curtain of energy between the night class they are attending and me on this dimension. And this curtain of energy was like the entrance into another dimension, and the person would be able to come in and out. Now, in these classes, one of the interesting things that I'm fascinated and was fascinated with is there were discussions on ESP. I happen to be interested in a higher sense perception. I call it higher sense perception instead of extrasensory because I don't think there's anything extra outside us. It is all within us. We have to discover it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascinating thing was that if we took the five senses which we have sight, hearing, taste, and so forth, and I'll take one explanation. We have physical sight, which is normal. We have people on the physical dimension who can't see more than certain frequencies. Some of them are colorblind. We have people who can actually see into the ultraviolet range, normally. And I've been in at Kodak, and they use these people with these types of abilities in the dark rooms so that they can walk in the dark room without any problem. Now, we have other people who have another dimension which they can penetrate the dense form and they can see inside the human body and how the energies are in that system. Now, at first, as a physician, as a neuropsychiatrist, this is not an easy thing to move from solid medical approach to this new dimension of the human mind.
Did it strain your reality box a little
bit? A lot, more than a little bit. I called it, I became cross-eyed. I would look at it from a medical point of view. Maybe I should just say that I was a neuropsychiatrist by training. I had been, wrote a number of papers on hallucinations of the insane. And I was in Montreal Neurological Institute where I studied patients for electrical stimulation of the brain in fully conscious patients produce certain, we called it psychical hallucination. They would hear voices, they would see visions, while different parts of the brain would be stimulated by 2 volts only of electricity. Now, I was sure I had the answer to all this, and suddenly somebody says to me, would you read a book with an open mind, which I wrote about in Breakthrough to Creativity or High Sense Perception? And I said, for a scientist to say we'll keep a closed mind wouldn't be appropriate. And so the book that was sent me, of course, I've said about it, is work of Edgar Cayce, about the life of Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
What struck me about him was that the seeing at a distance, which really shattered my old theories completely.
The remote viewing.
Remote viewing, seeing at a distance, whatever you want. Because the data was confirmed more than once.
Yes.
Therefore, there is something to it. And I believe nothing happens once. It has to happen. Nature doesn't produce it just once. It has to recur. And so my search was, having done work on the insane, having done work on the electrical stimulation of the brain, the challenge was, can I understand these people and see how do these three aspects of man, the higher octaves of perception, as well as these physical perception. And I found, that's why I used the word higher sense perception, because I think these are higher octaves of our five senses.
Just an extension of them.
An extension, and we use then new dimensions of energies, what you've been talking about and others, and then you begin to say, well, how do we see the human body? And I suddenly began to think of, how do we see by X-ray? All we need is a small crystal, which we change the frequency. And anybody can walk to a room and look through the chest and see the heart beating. We never thought it was possible so many years ago.
I'm going to take just a break here because you're into my stuff here.
All right.
and to this marvelous audience we have out there, that's Dr. Safika Karagulam. We're talking about, well, your extended perceptive abilities. You can see better than you can see. You can hear better than you can hear. You can probably taste and feel more than you think you can. You can move into areas that most people don't even dream exist. Is that not true?
That's correct.
How do we do it? How do we go about doing it?
Well, we have to... One of the things that have fascinating is the last 25 years is to do research of two types of research. One, those who have the abilities and how do they differ from the average person. And the second is to verify the statements of those who claim to have these abilities. In other words, being a physician, if somebody tells me they can see through the human body, I don't accept it. I say, all right, it is possible. Then I take them down to a hospital, or I take them to a veterinary place where I have the animals, let's say, and they would diagnose whether there's a tumor or there's no tumor. And then in 10 minutes, we open up the abdomen of the doggy and we see if it is there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we get verification. Now, in other words, we're learning. They don't see as we would see the dense form that you and me look at.
Mm-hmm.
It is like you say, you look at an X-ray, you see a pattern. Sometimes, because they see energy patterns, if they are not trained as physicians, there are some physicians who have these abilities, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but those who are not physicians, they don't describe it in terms of diagnosis, of medical diagnosis. They describe it in terms how the energy pattern is perceived by them. Let me give an illustration. Once I was examining somebody, and I didn't know the history at the time of the patient. Sometimes I didn't want to know, so people would say, people reading your mind, even that is a great ability, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
some people seem to be able to do that.
Yes. And so the person looked at the chest of the person, the clairvoyant looked at it and said, there is, the person has had some abnormality, the energy isn't quite right in upper lung. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the energy jumps. The term was jumping. And I said, what do you mean jumping? She said, naturally, usually, the lines of force I see run smoothly, straight across, but this one seems to be broken and it jumps, but it's connected. Now, she says, I think it is something that the patient has had and it is all right now. It's not an illness, but it has recovered. I found out then, taking the history, the patient had had tuberculosis in the past 20 years, where the scar in the upper lung has changed the tissue, and therefore the flow of the lines of force, which would be normal there, looked scarred, jumping. The energy was skipping. Now, this made a lot more sense than if the person has said to me she had tuberculosis, because the person is not a medical person.
Yes.
Any tissue damage in that area may produce similar patterns. So they describe in terms of energy pattern rather than as diagnosis.
Have you dealt with people who can do remote viewing?
Yes.
And how do you find that? It's a fascinating subject.
There's another fascinating thing. I don't quite know. I have never studied them at the moment when they are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I have met some of them, like Ingo Swann and others, and even my friend, Dr. Neil, had an ability to make a contact with the spiritual hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
She belonged to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. And that was a direct contact. She could perceive as well as telepathically communicate. And I could tell the difference between her own language and her own. This is in full waking consciousness. The person isn't asleep. The person isn't
right. Breathing.
These
mm-hmm.
are different abilities. Some people are scared from using it. But there are a lot of people who have it, not realizing they do. I understand that those who have that potential, sometimes, before they fall to sleep, as they fall to sleep, they may see miniature, perfect miniature, like in movies,
mm-hmm.
pass before their eyes before they fall asleep. In other words, that may give a hint to those who may have latent potential. Now, I haven't studied too many of those cases, but I have...
There's been a lot of research into it at the Stanford Research
Institute. I know, as far as the ability.
Yeah.
You know, I know Putoff has done some. There's...
Russell Targ.
And I met two people myself where, finally, this person was in the Middle East, and her husband was way down in Saudi Arabia, and she was in Beirut, Lebanon. And her husband was supposed to be in one place. And she suddenly was aware that he wasn't in the hotel where he's supposed to be, and there was somebody coming in with dinner, and they were serving meals and thing going on. And so the next day she called and she said, what were you doing? You were not in the hotel. Oh, he said, we decided we were working so hard, we decided to stay where we are in the office, so we ordered some dinner. We had dinner there. I think he would have a hard time with her.
He better be good.
Yeah, she would know where he is.
And,
but also it was helpful for her when there was danger.
Sure.
And a few times she had knew that danger was going to occur at one place, and she would be away from that place. So these things have their...
The perceptions of the mind are an amazing thing. And
I only hope they will not be used only for spying or any of that stuff.
Well, naturally, when the Pentagon gets involved in that research, you know that what that's about. But hopefully out of that will come
out of
something
that will come human potential.
Right. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Safika Karagula. I'm Bill Jennings that way. We can use the left brain to talk and to read, do mathematics, and to reason deductively. On the right side of the brain, it's the originator of ideas and spatial sense and intuition. But how do we go about using more of our brain power? Well, you know that that's something we're into even here tonight. It's called HemiSync, by the way, which is short for Hemispheric Synchronization. It's developed by the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences. Now, the process uses pulses of sound to help create simultaneously an identical wave from both brain's hemispheres. Now, originally, the Institute was granted a patent in 1975 based upon the use of such sound pulses to induce a frequency following response in the human brain, and we've had that for you here on the Open Mind Show. Let you listen to a little of it. Now, this simply means that when your ear hears a certain type of sound signal, It tends to respond or to resonate with similar electrical signals for more information. Now, if you want more information on that, the Monroe Institute Hemisync Seminar is being held on the weekend of June 29th right here in the Los Angeles area. Now, as you know, Bob Monroe is a good friend of mine and yours. This is the fellow who's going to get me out of body one of these days. But go in and find out about the Hemisync Seminar. It's the weekend of June 29th here in the Los Angeles area. The number to call is area code 213-346-9151. Now, let me give you that number again. 346-9151 and the 213 area code. The weekend of June 29th, the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences has a fascinating seminar for you to get in on. And I hope you do. I'm Bill Jenkins, and very delighted to have in studio with me Dr. Shafika Karagula. And we were talking about a myriad of things. We were just touching on the out-of-body experience here off mic, as it were. But mainly we're dealing with her new book, Through the Curtain. And it's a nice curtain to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That book tells you how you can find that curtain and go to night class, as it were.
At least it will help you to understand there are such aspects of yourself which you can ask before you go to sleep. You say, I want to go to some classes. And I think some people go to these classes. They may not bring the full memory, but they come in with interest, mm-hmm. with new concepts, with new ideas. And they, when a book falls into their hand, it feels familiar to them. They feel at home with it. I think it almost triggers off the memory that they have been in a class and the ideas are coming through. I think a lot of creative writers I've known who have those abilities.
I think most writers will say the same thing to you. I don't know where this information is coming from. I don't know where these characters are being developed or these stories are being developed. I think one of the greatest students in the night classes, as you put that term on it, in reading his works, was Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Who freely and openly gives all credit to the incredible inventions he had, which are the cornerstone of our society right now. Tesla was the greatest genius of our time.
Do you have his big book?
Yes.
All right.
I have quite a library on Tesla.
He was incredible.
Probably the greatest scientific mind of all time. And so... Well, politically, some terrible things happened to Tesla.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me angry every time I think about it.
I agree with you. I think he was never given the credit he...
But his science is now being relived again, and
you know,
even
encyclopedias don't mention his name?
About that long.
Hardly any in some of them.
Yep. I can tell you why. It's a sad story that goes back to political influence and money and greed mm-hmm. centered in Wall Street around the turn of the century.
That's correct.
We can thank the likes of J.P. Morgan and all of that mm-hmm. for stifling a man who very well could have stopped two world wars.
That's correct.
Well, let's don't get on that.
Bless Nikola, whatever he is, Nikola.
We're glad he was here, and but his there are a number of brilliant scientists today who understand it.
I tell you, I have talked to some scientists. Some of the far-reaching ones are beginning to be aware of the limitation of the material energy, even as they think of it. Mm-hmm. That they speak of terms of consciousness.
Yes.
You take Eccles, who was a great neurophysiologist, and I didn't know Sherrington until I read recently. He accepted life after death.
Yes.
And so does Eccles and others. But I think because of their position, they want verification. And I think some of us who got to work in this field, I've been working in this field for over 25 years, we do need to ground ourselves, to find the facts, verify them. Otherwise, there are a lot of phony stuff outside there that is absolutely nonsense, junky, and dangerous.
Oh, and it sounds so nice to believe in if you don't have anything else to believe in. And you want to believe in something that is esoteric or that you can put your hat on, but you're very, very correct.
It's
dangerous. You're going to have that kind of a belief that has so much to do with your own spirituality, mm-hmm. have it grounded in as much factual data as possible.
And it can be grounded. There are a lot of books that one should read. And I always say to people, you don't go and start working with the radiation, like Madame Curie, not being aware. She got burned, her hands got burned, and she got cancer and died from it. I mean, the law still applies, and I think far more in this field of higher sense perception, these other dimensions, the etheric dimension, the astral dimension, the mental dimension, or the still higher dimension of the Buddhic, Atmic, and so forth, there are laws that govern them, and if we don't follow the laws, people get burned out. And I have seen people. I get people who are in trouble, who want help. Sometimes once they tear, it's like tearing a part of the skin.
Tearing the etheric body.
Tearing the etheric body, sometimes tearing the interconnection of the three fields. You see, the three fields, that is the vital etheric, the astral and the mental, are interconnected via vortices of energy on the three levels. So we have 21 major vortices of energy interconnected. And if we disalign it,
mm-hmm.
you pull it. Therefore, once or twice, maybe it is all right, and there isn't much harm because the tear will not be. But if people persist in it, invariably, they will produce phenomena, mental instability, astral instability, possessions. An entity can get in. For instance, a person who tries to, the reason I say it, for people who get out of their body, it is a fact. People are able to get out of their body. They go in their consciousness in the astral form. And while they're out there, they're still connected physiologically by a cord, like mm-hmm. a tether, mm-hmm. like the tether of the astronaut who goes out from the thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's connected, but he stretches this cord away and he floats above his body. And this is a fact. But if he does it too often, he disconnects and loosens that interconnection, which is like a protection for us. And an entity standing on the other side of the astral dimension can slip in and he's out.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it.
I'll bet you that there are a lot of people who'd like to talk to you.
I'll tell you once before, the first time I was in speaking to Women's Club, the vice president of the Women's Club was next to me, and they were reviewing Breakthrough to Creativity. And while I was having lunch, she turned to me, she said, "Dr. Caragula, how can I stay in my body?" My God, I didn't expect that kind of a question.
How can she stay?
She's too fast, and she walks down the steps, and she's out.
But I want to go just once to see what it's like.
You're
saying I shouldn't do that.
Maybe the good Lord is protecting you.
Maybe so. All right. If you want to talk to Dr. Caragula, let me give you the numbers. All of the numbers, as you know, end in talk. TALK. Subject. And that is how little we're using our mind and how little we're using our perceptive abilities.
Mm-hmm.
For there is a much higher level and there's a much greater ability that we all have. I know Scott's been waiting on the phone here for quite a while. Scott, welcome aboard.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Scott?
Well, I was wondering how I can reach these high levels of perception.
Scott, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
Fantastic that you're interested in it at 12. I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Dr. Caragula is here. Perhaps.
What would you like to do with it, Scott?
Well, I would like to, just do everything. You know, I'd like to know how to, look inside of my body and just, understand myself better.
Mm-hmm. One of the best things is to read about these things so that you don't get yourself into trouble when you try to dabble with too many of these things. And maybe one of the books you might enjoy reading, and that is a book called The Boy Who Saw True, a little boy of 7 years old who had some of these abilities, and he was helped by his teacher, and it was written as an autobiography. It's anonymous because the author is known, or the person was known in England. But sometimes he got into trouble because he didn't know how to use it. And this way it may give you wisdom of not to dabble too much. But you'll enjoy the book about The Boy Who Saw True, it's called, Anonymous. You can buy it from DeVore's or many of the stores.
Also, Scott, you sound to me like you won't have trouble reading Dr. Caragula's book, and Breakthroughs in Creativity.
I think Breakthrough will help him to understand these different abilities. Do you have any, Scott, yourself?
What?
Do you have any abilities yourself? Are you aware of anything?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, maybe it's fortunate. Maybe when you grow up a little bit, you're wiser, you'll use them better.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. And it's always nice to know that youngsters your age are listening and are interested.
That's right. I have known children of 7. I had once, for instance, a child who could see these colors around people.
Auras.
And auras, or energy fields, or the astral body, really, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother was worried. She called me. She said, "What can I do about it?" I said, "Well, just watch it, help her, but let her not talk too much about it." There are many kids who have these abilities, and many are coming in to begin to see some one dimension, especially the vital field or the etheric. So there is a great deal of interest, and I think many people will develop these abilities slowly and surely.
Okay, Scott?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you for checking in with us. All right, Richard, what's on your mind?
Yes, Bill. I wanted to ask Dr. Caragula if she got my letter I sent her recently.
You sent her a letter recently?
In it to Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's speaking?
Richard.
Richard.
Richard what?
Austin.
Huh?
Austin, he says his name.
No.
Oh, she didn't get the letter.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, well.
What is it you want?
Well, I just... mentioned about telekinesis and experiences I had.
Yes.
One took place at UCLA where a woman dropped a large wad of paper beside me and walked and sat a few feet ahead, you know, sat down.
Uh-huh.
And by looking at it, I moved back beside her. I wonder what would cause that.
That's a lot of moving.
That's telekinesis. You've
that's
got
telekinesis.
The right word.
That's a lot of ability to move it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was it you or was it somebody else helping you?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
But anyway, she was involved some way, I guess, but I can't explain it.
Was that the first time you'd done it?
No. I had an unloaded gun and I concentrated and broke a healthy branch, you know, by aiming the gun at it. But kind of into kind of a funny mood.
You mean you aimed the gun at the branch, but you didn't fire the gun, but you broke the branch mentally?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes.
It would be best not to have the gun around, I would say.
Well, I mean, it gets kind of a strange feeling, and then it happened, you know.
What else have you done in that area that you could relate?
Well, those are the only ones I...
How old are you now?
47.
Have you had them since early life? Early childhood?
As far as I can remember, I was born with it, I guess. I just wonder why, how it can cause all these abilities, you know.
Well, there is a whole physics to it. Some people have them, some don't. Why don't you read Breakthrough to Creativity? Maybe it will help you to explain the different abilities people have.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of books you can read too, that will give you some of these explanations.
I think Dr. Johns from Princeton has a book on it, too. They've done an awful lot of research into telekinesis there.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you an understanding of this great power of the mind.
Yeah, the Russians had done quite a bit on that, moving objects. This has been known for a long time. But it takes a lot of wear and tear on the physical body while this is being done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, now telepathy is another big...
You're able to...
send thoughts, you know.
Transmit thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a receiver, or you just transmit them to whomever? And they're going to receive them whether they like them or not.
That's what I find, Bill, yeah.
That's quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, listen, why don't you put all of that down on paper, send it to me, and I'll see that Dr. Caragula gets it.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Doctor.
All right.
Bye.
We're going to take a break right now, 15 minutes away from the 11 o'clock mark on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Dr. Safika Karagula.
Oh, I guess around 11, 12 years old. I live in one city. My grandmother lived in the South. And we've always been close. You know, I have some other siblings. But basically, from time to time, she would, you know, call and phone, see how all of us were doing. And she'd talk to me, and she'd ask me certain questions about things that I had done or seen, you know, while in school or whatever. Anyway, as I got older, you know, I never really checked into this. And then as I got older, around 16, 17 years old, I started sort of paying attention to what she was asking. And sure enough, I realized that there were times that I would maybe be driving in another city or maybe I'd be hungry and have something particular in mind at a particular place, you know, times that I could actually pinpoint. And she would call, she'd say, "Don't say anything." And she'd start describing either what I was seeing or how I was feeling. And we've been trying to figure out how she can do this. And the only time, the thing that really convinced me was some years ago, I was visiting her. And I walked in, I had been out with some friends, and I walked into the house, and I thought I heard her talking to me and asking me to take out the trash. And so I took the trash out, and I came back in, and she called me, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you just asked me to take out the trash." She says, "No, I just woke up." She says, "But before I went to sleep, I had thought about mentioning that to you or leaving you a note about it." And that's when I was convinced. And a couple of times, you know, since then. It happens maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah. But that's true. There are a number of people who have probably had a good rapport with her.
Yeah.
And perhaps when she was asleep, she was communicating already with you, although you were awake. You see, on another dimension called the astral dimension, she was probably contacting you and telling you, and you were aware of what she wanted, so you carried it out. I think these are things to be observed, to see how they are related. You know, there are a number of people who are aware of somebody passes on in somewhere, especially if there's a terrific emotion. They are seen and heard by relatives in quite another part of the world. These all are are being studied now and evaluated and verified. And I think just don't be scared of it. Just keep an open mind, but don't have a gullible mind either.
No, that's it. But it's really fascinating. I have wondered, you know, is there any way we can use it? Because,
yeah.
In fact, I have pinpointed that it has to be when, for example, if I'm driving on a highway and you're listening to music and I'm not thinking of anything in particular,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden something gets my attention.
Mm-hmm.
If I, you know, whether it's something I see or something I think, that's the thing that she'll pick up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you must have very close rapport with your grandmother.
Yeah.
She's really tuned in on you.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But, you know, like, I'm just wondering, how can we either develop it or find out more about it?
I think studying, read as many books as possible. I think there are a lot of literature. And observe yourself. Keep a record of what happens when it happens. I think this is good. And someday, I think you will find in Through the Curtain, there are certain connections between the vortices of energies in the body which give different people different abilities. And so perhaps you and your grandma have similar connections, let's say, so that's why she's more in tune with you than with another member of the family. And these are well known, how they are connected and what produces, let's say, clairaudience or telepathy or astral vision or emotional or mental vision. You see, there are etheric vision, astral vision, mental vision, and there are higher dimensional visions. And so you study those, or if it's clairaudience, let's say you have actual hearing sound, and then you have astral clairaudience, we call it, then the higher octaves, we call it telepathy, and there's another above that, which is from the Buddhic, we call it instant clear knowing. That comes in a totally different way. People have described it to me, than actual telepathy. So by knowing these, you learn about yourself and the potential you've got for the future.
Does that help you, Robert?
Yeah, somewhat. There was one other thing I was going to mention.
I tell you, we've got a lot of people who want to get on here. Make it very, very quick.
Okay. There was a movie called Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman. There was an old Indian guy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship between this guy and his grandfather and the things his grandfather could see, that's what I experienced with my grandmother.
The American Indians have a tremendous rapport with nature and with each other on that dimension. And I think that if we understood how they communicated together, it's a kind of ESP they've got.
Thank you.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And Norma.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
Hi. First of all, Mr. Jenkins, I wanted to talk to the doctor, but could you tell me the name of that bookstore in Tustin?
Chippin' Books.
Where is it?
It's on Newport Avenue, I believe it is. Just south of the freeway. A couple of blocks.
Oh, just south of the freeway?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Now, could I talk to Dr. Caragol?
Certainly, she's right here.
Okay. Doctor, I think probably what I want to talk about is our energy field. And I want to just give you really very small background, because I have to explain why I'm asking these questions. I was injured in an auto accident about 2 years ago, and it was, my back was hurt very, very badly, and instead of it improving, it became worse and worse and worse until I got to the point to where I could hardly walk and so forth and so on. And I have gone to so many specialists, you wouldn't believe it, and it was continuing to get worse. Okay, I was given the name of a little doctor, and I guess he's a chiropractor, but I'm telling you, he doesn't practice any way I've ever heard of a chiropractor practicing, but here's what I want to know. He has a technique that he applies to me, and he explained it. He said that we have an energy field, and that when we are healthy, our energy field is polarized from east to west. Have you heard of that?
Well, sometimes, I tell you one thing, sometimes people... Did he help you?
Yes,
I tell you what, some people do have some abilities where they can transmit some of the energy, the vital field or the etheric energy from one person to the other. It's like a battery that's down and then you recharge it.
Well, he uses a technique where he applies massaging and different things to certain areas, certain spots of my body, which I suppose would be, let's see, what chiropractors would call, not meridians, but Well, like when you use acupuncture.
Zone areas.
Yeah.
All right.
And he manipulates those some way until I can feel, after a while, I can feel just like there's a little bit of an electrical current in my body.
That's all right. I think probably he has some talent, some ability to transmit part of the vitality, and I think so long he's helped you, don't worry about the terms he uses.
Well, yeah, I can't understand why is he releasing this pain.
It's easy. It's like a battery that's short, let's say. You have a battery that's short-circuited, all right? You go to a place and you have the battery recharged. He may have an ability to recharge your own physical body, then your body does the rest
and
of the healing.
He heals itself?
That's correct.
That's what I was wondering
that's
about.
That's it. That's what it is.
He opens up, kind of, he opens
that's
up,
right.
he re- opens up all these little blood vessels and you get
that's
more
right.
mm-hmm. oxygen and everything going through your body.
And you do the rest of the healing yourself.
Do you know of any books that would give me more information on this? It's fascinating, and I never even heard of it before.
Well, I think there are a number of books you can read
about.
Anything
about energy fields?
Oh, there's a lot. In my book, Breakthrough to Creativity, Your Higher Sense Perception, you'll find description of those fields of energy. There's Leadbeater's book, Man Visible and Invisible. There are books on the chakras and their transmission of energy.
Just go down to any good metaphysical bookstore, Norma. The music means that we've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for sharing that with us. But they can help you down at the bookstore and find out all about that. We'll be back right after the news. I'm Bill Jenkins. A Saturday night date that you and I have, and I'm so delighted you're along. My name is Bill Jenkins. We call this Open Mind on KABC. And we like to open yours always to something new, something challenging, and we hope something worthwhile. And to help us along tonight is a lady who has certainly challenged and done so many things worthwhile for mankind, Dr. Shafika Karagula. She's written a book, a couple of books, Breakthrough in Creativity, which is certainly one of the books that I would put on your must-reading list. So many people ask me the books that they should read, and they're the ones that have been very, very valuable in forming the Open Mind Show. That certainly is one, and of course the new one, Through the Curtain, is another one. Go ahead.
Yeah. I should just briefly say they wonder what the Through the Curtain will include. I thought I'd just mention a few of the things that the book includes. It includes the mechanism, the physics of different types of ESP, extrasensory perception or higher sense perception. What's the difference between telepathic contact or clear seeing or seeing at a distance or clairaudience and how these things work. There are also other dimensions of ability some people have. There are sections which deal with healing, and sometimes even during sleep there are certain forces, angelic beings that can help in healing and so forth. We should be aware of these things. What are the different types of healing that take place? There's a great deal today of interest on crystals, the future effects of crystals and crystalline forms. Let's remember laser beam is a form of crystal light.
Certainly, yeah.
And I think there's going to be a great deal of factors in using sound, color, and in healing of the future. But there are also dangers, I must say, immediately. There are dangers in using certain frequencies of sound, which may produce harm to the person, as well as good. We haven't quite got into the basic factors, and I have no doubt that these will be solved before long.
Maybe you can tell me something. I had Dr. Flanagan tell me, speaking of crystals, but
yes.
I've got an experiment going
yes.
in
yes.
my spa.
Yeah.
My spa at home is not heating, so the water is cold.
Yeah.
But we put a crystal in it 6 weeks ago, about the size of your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So the water has been sitting there, not being heated, not filtered, no chlorine, no chemicals at all. And it is crystal clear. It is totally pure. It tested today. It is just a perfect batch of water.
What kind of crystal did you use?
It's a quartz crystal.
Just plain quartz crystal? Did you just let it inside the water?
I just drop it in the bottom of the water. Now, I know that the chemical companies are not going to like that, but...
I don't know about it, but I'm sure crystals have... They are really the polar opposite of metals. There is a great deal about them in the description. They are the energies, there will be new energies brought from the crystalline patterns, and I'm sure they will be used in sound. Just radio is, of course, communication and uses.
Well, use that. We use that for you to hear us. Yes,
so that's correct. But also, they will be producing certain lights from the different aspects of crystals. You know, this is again discussed in Through the Curtain. You know, the crystal has two polarities, two aspects. One is the electrical phenomena, and then there is also the light phenomena from it can come. In other words, the optical and the auditory, or the... So we have used a great deal the radio frequencies by cutting crystals in a certain way, but in the future we're going to cut them along certain other line, along their optical line, and they will produce a totally different energy patterns that we're looking for. And I think these are some of the things discussed in Through the Curtain. There are discussions of things that are coming in advances in medicine, in technology, and what to look for in the future, what's happening to our country. And, of course, personally, I always like to think how consciousness is evolved, how spirit and matter meets, and the discussion in the last chapter of the book, the student being shown the polarity of spirit and matter and consciousness is I think it's a very interesting and very beautifully described. Make us realize that these other dimensions which exist when a student goes to sleep, but he goes to classes and learns all these things, that's where our new ideas all come to us. You realize we really don't have anything on our own.
No, at all.
We just tune in. We're just equipment that tunes into new concepts.
The action is on the other side.
That's correct. We have to work with it ourselves.
Yes, right. Yes.
They're having a rough time with us.
Well, they have been, but I think that they may be smiling a little bit more because more people are tuning in, I think, in this age in which we're now moving, this new age.
There's tremendous amount of tune in to new concepts. People are ready. We are having two extremes, if we look at it. We have extreme fanaticism, whether it's political, religious, scientific.
Mm-hmm.
The scientists are so rigid, they're scared stiff of these new concepts. And then you have the people who are going to the other extreme who are so open-minded, I call sometimes, they become gullible. They'll swallow anything that a psychic says. And we have to come to that midway point of evaluating it.
A lot of people are having their belief systems fractured now.
Oh, fractured. Completely.
Last week we had a gentleman on who's been described to me, and after spending a great deal of time with him, I think we can call him one of our modern-day geniuses, John Bedini, who has developed an electronic device that produces more energy than it uses. It's a free energy device.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perpetual motion machine. It's using energy.
No.
It's just getting it in a different way. And during the course of the week, there have been some very, very firm, solid scientists go down, check his machine, and it so was contrary to their belief systems that some of them got ill. Literally got ill.
It's very frightening to a true scientist who's rigid to be shattered by things that he can't understand or comprehend.
Well, all the things he had been taught and all the things he had himself taught.
That's right.
Just proved in one afternoon
were
wrong.
Let me say, the great scientists, whether it is Niels Bohr, whether it's Einstein, whether it's Planck or all these, they are people who tune into some of this new knowledge, and they're fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can call Reichenbach the first great scientist of the last century.
Mm-hmm.
I think people don't realize it's not something new. In the last century we had the first neurophysiologist who wrote the first book on psychometry. We have Denton, the geologist who made the best research work on psychometry, holding an object and knowing what it is. And his wife would see exactly the geological formation at a distance. And then he would go there and find what she described was perfectly true.
Psychic archaeology, yes.
And what was interesting, it was her description of the moon. I don't know if you know that. She described the moon, that there will be certain quakes there, earthquakes, and she described some of the... And when the astronauts were there, some of her description was correct.
Very.
That was 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so...
So it's there's nothing really new. It's just the ability to tune in on it and use it.
Well, we're using it better. I think we're understanding ourselves.
That's it. And realizing that we can...
And we can evolve. I think we are evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And we are building within our system interconnection. The equipment is there. That's why everybody's got the same potential. We may, by analogy, say the equipment is there, but the connections haven't been made. The wires haven't been put together. So we get somebody, one can see at a distance, one can hear at a distance, one can communicate at a distance, or to the other side of life. And others feel it's right, but they can't do it. It's all right. Someday they will be able to do
someday
that.
Someday you will, or maybe the next time around you will.
Next time around, that's right. But that's what I think I'm getting amused, because if you next time around, where did you store all that information? There is a physics to it.
There is a physics and the dynamics, too.
The dynamics, that there is a fourth field, which most people don't speak about, which in it is the computer galaxy, if you want, where everything that has happened to you is fed into that computer. It's like a gene.
Mm-hmm.
And we say how two little genes or two cells in sperm and ovum bring in a human being. It has in it the essence of all that we are. That's how we build up and we come back and we can remember.
That little bit of intelligence and energy then got to work and started creating a master chemist, a master engineer, and created you and me.
That's right.
Some people call that the monad.
Yes, monad, but I was thinking of the causal body.
Mm-hmm.
The body of causes, which is seen in some of the ancient Christian churches. If
yes.
you go to Byzantine church, if you go to India, you see the same paintings.
Right.
Whereas the fourth field has in it a gene, they call it an atom, but an atom in a different concept, where there's one connected with your physical body, one with your emotional body, one with your mental body, which then interconnects to the back to the spirit. So there's a lot of connections, and this is how we come back. And some people can bring memory from these computerized systems with all the information there is.
You can tap that if it's required, if it's necessary.
Well, sometimes it's a blessing we don't know.
Well, I think probably most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. I prefer not to know many things.
You know, illnesses and accidents don't take the weekend off, do they? Neither does White. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is Dr. Shafika Karagula. Is there any way someone can reach you if they want to?
I think through your station or...
Okay, just write me.
Write you, and I think you'll see to it that I get it.
I certainly will. Oh. I wouldn't dare not to.
That may be the best way.
All right, let me see. Someone, if I can just kind of, they wanted to know the telephone number for the Monroe Institute. I'll try to find that and get that to you about them. We do have Russ on the line right now. Russ?
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'd like to talk about the out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
I had one almost a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And my experience of that was I really didn't know I was dead. My heart was racing. And
mm-hmm.
and ever since then, I've been trying to get back to that because mm-hmm. there was a real peacefulness about it. There was almost a divine essence about it. And I've been trying to get back to that for the longest time. I've dealt with the fear. I've dealt with the actual thing itself, and it's okay with me, only it just hasn't happened again. I was wondering if there was anything you might recommend as far as exercises or preparation.
No, I think you're asking the person who wouldn't advise you to try again unless it happens spontaneously. That's all right. You had the experience. It is real. It's genuine.
I feel there's a lot of knowledge there, too.
Yes. You know, sometimes knowledge doesn't mean we should go there and look around. I think we have to ground ourselves. Maybe that's why the good Lord sees to it not too many people get out there. I tell you why sometimes I say there's dangers. I've seen people who, if they do it too often, once, twice, or half a dozen even, it's perfectly all right.
Mm-hmm.
But people who do that, slip away too quickly out of their body, someone else on the other side can slip into their own body.
Do you have any experience of someone, like, would that be a total shift in personality, I would guess?
That's correct.
Have you ran across anyone like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. I've got people who've told me what happened, and one of them is a well-known person who goes around lecturing on this, and she used to slide out of her body and had fun in 2-3 different ways, and then she said, I was out of, she came in to get in, she said, I saw 3 hooded people deciding which one of them are going to get in, and she was told...
3 what kind of people?
Hooded people, you know, astral entities they were. And they were trying to get into her body, just take it over. And since then, she hasn't tried to get out of her body. The other thing is sometimes people may get out of their bodies if they're doing too frequently. I don't mean once or twice, as I said, or half a dozen times, it's all right, because there isn't too much to. But people who, one time I was lecturing, and the person next to me said to me, Dr. Caragula, how can I stay in my body? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I walk down the steps, I'm out of my body. So if a person is driving... What happens to them? Suddenly they're out somewhere else. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Everybody goes out of their body but me.
You better stick in your body, Bill. Don't get out. There are dangers. It's a true experience. It's a genuine experience. It's a phenomenon that people eventually will be able to have that experience without leaving disconnected from their body. That you are really actually connected with it, like an umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
If there was somebody was there, they would see you connected via the solar plexus. Did you do anything at the time when before you left out to your outside your body?
I blessed it happened to me, like I said, when I was sleeping.
Oh, I see.
And I was aware of that through the mm-hmm. Open Mind program and
yeah.
through the Anderson Foundation.
Yeah.
I was talking with Andy Anderson over
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's always good to say a little blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And just in case you might slip out of your body that hey, this is taken and there's no intruders, please. And that's what I've been doing all the time.
Right. Yeah, just be grateful you had the experience. It is a genuine experience. People get a sense of reality that our physical body, the dense body, is not all that we are.
No, absolutely.
And therefore, that's, I think, the value of the experience. And I think accept that and go ahead and do the rest of your work without having to look back. If it happens another time, fine, but don't push it.
If you're concerned about it, you might check with the folks at the Monroe Institute because they are concerned that it's a safe trip and journey for you if you need to take it at all.
Bill?
Yes.
The Monroe Institute, do they have any literature or tapes that prepare you to do it?
They've done a great deal of research on it in a very, very scientific way. And
but actual exercises that you can do to see
if you
can...
check them, I think you'll find a lot of information on the pros and cons of it.
I see. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Glad to have you aboard. We have Dan here. Dan, welcome
on. Hello. Doctor, I have a question for you. I'd like to know what your experience, your personal experience is with out-of-body experiences.
None at all. I'm grateful I don't have any of them.
Okay. I'm a little bit, you might say, perturbed that, you know, I don't want to exaggerate, but like you're scaring half of Los Angeles that to go out of the body is going to be a very dangerous thing.
Well,
I personally have experienced out-of-body experiences, and I have a friend who has been doing this. In fact, he was a natural psychic, very sensitive, and he just happened to get into remote viewing and going out of his body at a very, very young age, already before he was 10 years old. And he's been doing it off and on for many, many years, and he can see auras, etc. He's a psychic, etc. He's not known as a psychic. He doesn't even go around talking about his abilities. But I trust his information because all the information he's passed on to me has been verified and recrossed, and I've done a lot of research on my own. And I talked to him. I asked him about this thing. People were talking about silver cords and dangers. And what he talked about, he mentioned this, and he said that all the times that he's gone out, he's never seen the silver cord that people have talked about. He never saw this.
It is there.
Okay.
It's like a baby. You know, when a baby is born, there's a cord connected with his mother.
I'm very clear. I'm very familiar with the subject. Yeah. You know, about the silver cord. He himself said he had never seen this cord. He investigated himself. And he primarily felt that what these people were talking about, as far as cords, was, you might say, a string of tension. Because most people that Google out-of-body, like the previous caller, mentioned about a fear that was going on with out-of-body experience because they're not comprehending what's happening. And he felt he noticed that often in the first once or twice that people do go out-of-body, there seems to be like a cord of energy that follows the body because of tension. But he noticed that with increased, repeated, you know, experiences, this cord disappeared very quickly. And he himself is very familiar with that because, he, like you said yourself, when people go out of body, they meet other people that have this ability. And he has had no experience of general danger of people leaving the body. I've asked him about this, and he's never mentioned anything like that. And I personally have experience with this, and I've never felt any type of danger.
Well, maybe you haven't yourself, but being a physician, and I get people who are in trouble. And maybe that's why I see also the other side of the story. And as a physician and a researcher in this field, it's part of my duty to refer to the dangers that take place in these aspects. So you can take it or leave it. You do what you like. But
you're taking the fun away from it.
Well, I'm just concerned about that because Bill's office is from the Monroe Institute.
I know, but it's dangerous.
I disagree very strongly.
That's
and personally, I've had the experience myself a number of times.
That's perfectly all right. I have also the right to disagree.
Oh no, absolutely. But right. I just want to make the point that what I'm talking about from personal experience.
That's wonderful.
And,
that's all right.
I just want to present the other side because I think Los Angeles would have a great time going out of body. Because you know, my friend, he can talk. I can sit down to him. He doesn't use this very often, but in good moods, I can talk to him about other planets and the people on other planets. And I think a lot of people would like to be able to do that on their own. And I just don't want to scare people preemptively.
Well, you know, Dan, from what I can understand from talking to so many people, that they're going to have a traffic cop above Los Angeles.
You better believe it, Bill. You better believe it.
I'm going to take Dr. Caragula with me when I go.
Yeah.
And we'll very... We'll tread very lightly on the other side.
I think I
just like to put one last comment on there. You know, it has to do with a lot of, I feel these dangers that you might be mentioning, is that there's a lot of fear built up, and not just out-of-body experiences, but anything psychic. I mean, imagine seeing a ghost. I mean, most people that would see a ghost would really get scared. And the basis is this whole concept of out-of-body experiences, a major shift in reality. Our entire world is based on that this does not happen. And when this happens, a lot of fear, powerful fear comes up. And I think, you know, fear weakens people. And I think energy systems, just like you would, you know, you've been talking about, and that possibly might induce people to fear that these kind of things can happen. But I really don't think that with experience and a lot of information.
Have you seen
like
people who are troubled?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Have you been in contact with people who have had troubles with these experiences?
No.
Well, right then. That's all right.
But Dr. Garrett Caragula has.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, everybody have a very nice night.
That's right.
All right,
Dan.
Thank you very much for your input. We appreciated it. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Dr. Shafika Caragula. We're talking about, well, your extended perception abilities and how you can gain them.
Okay.
And some people feel they can gain them going out of body a little bit, mm-hmm. Dr. Caragula. We'll be back in just a moment. Shafika Caragula is with me. And I certainly hope you get both of her books. They're must reading for you. Breakthroughs in Creativity and Through the Curtain. We're talking about Through the Curtain tonight, and way up in Northern California. You made it. Are we coming in up there, Greg?
Very poorly.
Very poorly.
Very poorly. Hi, Bill.
How are you
Hi,
doing?
Dr. Caragula. I'd like to talk to you about the state of research and just the general approach to the kinds of things you've been talking about tonight in other countries around the world in comparison with here in the United States, because, you know, 90%+ of what we hear about in this country just pertains to what's happening here and to the way people approach things in this country. We do get to hear probably about 8% of what we hear, or maybe something like that, is about what's happening in the Soviet Union, and we hear almost nothing about the rest of the world. And I suspect that you're probably in contact with people around the world. If I recall correctly from reading Breakthrough Creativity, you're originally from Pakistan, is that right?
What?
I said, if I recall correctly from reading mm-hmm. Breakthrough to Creativity, you're originally from Pakistan, is that right?
Where? That's
Pakistan.
No. I come from Beirut, Lebanon, from Turkey.
Oh, Turkey. Okay, well.
No, Pakistan, I've never seen it.
Okay. Well, it's a long time since I've read
I'm so glad you're here instead of Beirut. Right?
I've got a lot of friends there. I pray for them.
But before you get into that, I just want to make an observation. I think... And I'm not a chauvinist, believe me. Mm-hmm. It seems that probably the United States of this day is one of the more ideal places, because we have a very commonsensical, pragmatic approach to things. If you look at other countries, you might superficially think that a place such as India, for instance, might be very conducive to studying these things. And I'd really like your comments and observations on it. But also, at the same time, people there have to deal with, ages-old traditions that really shape their thinking.
Well, I think, if you want to know what other researches are being done around the world...
Then how does it compare with the way we approach things here in this country?
Well, I tell you, I was in India one time. I went down to the neurophysiology department where they were studying yogis. And they were trying to study physiologically, neurologically, and they had excellent men who knew their business. They were studying how does a yogi, for instance, can control his breathing and can be buried for a day or 2 days and then come out.
Right.
They are very good in those kind of things. And the Indian, there are two groups. There are those who are very simple, but the brilliant among them are really brilliant. They compare anywhere in the world. And I think there are research... depending sometimes on the funds that are available. Russia is doing a great deal of work, I know, because some of them have been desperate. They've been asking for Breakthrough to Creativity for 2 years. I wouldn't send it. Eventually I said, to heck, let them have it.
They're going to get it anyway. They'll send the KGB agent over to the Bodhi tree.
That's correct. But he wanted a free copy. What was interesting, it was in one of their... center. There's on the eastern side. It's in the center of Russia where they have a whole city. I didn't know about it. They have a whole city top-notch scientists. All of them are in this city, surrounded, they're isolated from everybody, and the guy was from that department somewhere there.
That is a very difficult city to get into.
That's correct.
No,
and he wanted it to be registered to be sure he was going to get the book. Maybe I should try it and ask him for a copy of what he's done.
You won't get anything.
I don't get anything, sir, but at any rate, they could figure it out. But in England, they're doing some good work, and I think in Canada, they have done some work. There are different groups of people doing different kinds of research. And remember, this has started over 200 years ago. This is not, we're not the only ones beginning.
Oh, I know. I know that.
But just to whet your appetite a little bit more, Keith Harari, who wrote the book The Mind Race, along with Russell Targ,
yes,
will be my guest 2 weeks from tonight, so he'll get into that very, very closely with you.
They did a good job.
Yes.
I just got the book, and I think it's interesting. All these other abilities are being reported more, but I hope that we do not lay our emphasis on the military application. We must apply it to the human being. And I think the next great field that should be of help is in medicine, preventive medicine, and predictive medicine. That's my interest in these abilities and to understand man himself.
Well, you know what's really incredible about living in the age we're in right now is, as you say, you know, the types of research that lead to our current understanding began at least 200 years ago. But then, of course, people have been dealing with these things for thousands of years.
That's correct.
And they, in previous times, they were looked at through more of a magical or mystical perspective. To a large extent.
To the outer world, but there has always been, for centuries, an inner group
from
you.
That's
who were aware, and who go to night classes, as you will find in Through the Curtain, the book, where students go in and learn these things and can bring the memory to full waking consciousness and begin to have a reality to them and apply it. So I think these things have been known. And if you go to throughout the world, and I've made a trip around the world with this in mind, you find paintings go back to thousands of years indicating these abilities, whether they are a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Christian.
Craig, you ever had the feeling you've been to night classes?
Nothing that clearly defined.
Wait till it happens.
Well, let me just say, do you sometimes pick up a book and you suddenly it sounds familiar to you?
Oh, sure.
All right, maybe you've been there, you can't bring it through, you'll find out, maybe you have been there.
Well, one thing I was going to say is that I remember very clearly from when I was younger and going to school, if I had some kind of problem, let's say a math or geometry type problem, something like that, or could be any sort really, and if I was thinking about it, I could just know that if I was thinking about it when I went to bed,
mm-hmm,
I'd be pretty sure of having better understanding of it when I woke up.
Well, where do you get those ideas? There must be somewhere we go to get knowledge or maybe exchange points of view and get some help and come back with the concepts. I know a number of inventors have those things. I know people in the fashion industry. They go to sometimes and come bring in some, well, what's coming? Precognition. It's a kind of precognition. They come in with new concepts. The physicists have a lot of these things.
Most physicists do.
And I have known one Nobel Prize laureate who told me exactly how he got his ideas. So these things are not as strange as they seem.
I don't know. I want to ask you one more specific question quickly. Are you familiar with what we call the dream time experience of the Aboriginal people in Australia?
I don't know about that. I'd probably be able to explain it on my understand, but I cannot.
Well, okay, the Aboriginal people in Australia, their civilization is known to extend back roughly 50,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have what we hear, in Western civilization, call the dream time.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's an alternate state of reality which they can go into, and it's just as real, and it's equivalent in the full sense of the word to ordinary everyday reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they gain a lot of knowledge from this,
mm-hmm,
and it's really important to the whole way they conduct their lives.
Sounds like they're going to day school.
Day school. I'm not familiar with that group of people.
It really seems to tie into the kind of research you do.
I appreciate your mentioning it.
We'll have to look further into that, Craig.
Okay, thank you. Hold on. I want to ask you, are you ever going to have the astronaut?
Ed Mitchell.
Yeah, Ed Mitchell.
I'm making plans to have Ed on in about November.
Okay.
He's in Europe right now, but he's one of my favorite people.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much, Craig. I'm Bill Jenkins. Dr. Safika Karagula is with me tonight. It's Open Mind. Right after the news at midnight, one of our favorite people, Barbara Estenson, will be here. Barbara.
Good evening. It's good to see you again. I missed you a couple weeks ago.
Oh, listen, I was having fun.
I know. I told our audience that you were having an out-of-studio
experience. An out-of-studio experience.
Oh.
I got well cards. I got cards that said we heard you'd been in an accident.
No, that and just sort of like came to me. That somehow that seemed appropriate for you to be having an out-of-studio experience. Someone at Etsy.
I heard you do that.
Oh, did you hear that? Someone who exercises, I go to the Sports Connection, and I'll lay you exercises there, and I'm going to talk with her more about it. She uses out-of-body experiences and can have them at will with her weight reduction program. She was about 150 pounds overweight, very obese, and I was just leaving, and she was just getting there. And she had heard me say this about you on the air. And she said, well, I have to tell you, you were joking about it. But she said, I have really learned how to use my out-of-body experiences to help me with my weight reduction. I'm going to have to ask her about that. What that means.
Yeah, tell her, find out how she does it.
Now, I don't
Dr.
know.
Dr. Caragula
well,
says we
whole
probably shouldn't do it, but I'm going to anyway if I can.
Well,
she's probably been mediumistic in another life. It's easy for her to get out.
could that be? Yeah. Well, she's already lost a whole person just about. She's lost 100 pounds. She has 50 more to go.
Of course,
so.
When you go out of body, you lose almost everything.
That's right. Well, maybe that's why she's losing weight.
What's on tap time?
Oh, well, the first couple of hours, we're going to have a psychologist in studio. His name is Brett Lyon, and he's developed a method of harnessing your own power. And he says you can gently guide yourself in the direction you want to go. It has to do with a lot of relaxation. And interestingly enough, he started out helping actors with lines and so on and relaxing beforehand, and that's now translated to the public in general, so we're going to find out a bit how to do that. And then the 2 o'clock hour, an old friend of ours, Alan Lieberhoff, he's been on my guest on my show before, and he's going to talk about starting your own business at home. He's very interested in cottage industry, so going to be an interesting 5 hours.
Hmm. 5 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, but you make every one of them fascinating, Barbara.
Oh.
Keep me up every night.
Well, I'm glad we're having an in-studio experience.
An in-studio experience, Doc.
Thank you, William.
All right. Thank you very much, Barb. She'll be on right after the news at midnight. And we are going to go to Brad is there. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Hi. The doctor mentioned Ingo Swann earlier on in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I received something in the mail a little while back. And he's giving a seminar up in Santa Barbara. I have met Ingo. And as far as the dangers and such of out-of-body experiences and connected with various psychic phenomena, I know he's one that does not really have much trouble in that area. And experiences I've had...
You're being challenged on this, Dr.
Ingo, well, Ingo doesn't leave his body. Ingo doesn't leave his body in perceiving.
He does remote viewing, but...
Remote viewing doesn't mean you're out of your body.
Yes, but he has also had out-of-body experiences.
He might have had, but I have talked to Ingo, and these are other types of abilities. There are people who can focus their mind and perceive without getting out of their body. That's a different ability, and that's perfectly safe.
Okay, has he said nothing to you about out-of-body experiences?
I think I don't recall now, but I remember discussing how he did his abilities, some of his abilities. And I think he does some of his remote viewing without getting out of his body.
Right. One of the points, though, that I wanted to bring up was that, since you did mention it yourself, but it's since you are a doctor, you do see people that have trouble. But... Might you not be able to assume that the people that do not have trouble don't go to the doctor, so you don't know how many people are not having trouble?
There may be a lot of people who are not in trouble, but I think once you know the physics, like the connections can get loose if people do it once or twice or three times, as I said, it's all right. It's not.
Well, that's still an assumption based on the people you have seen.
Yes, but I think also there has been throughout history, when you tear things apart too often, you get problems. I think from the physics point of view, this is so.
Right.
So you can do what you like. God will bless you for getting out there, and I hope you come back safe with your own body, but I don't want you to get into trouble.
I get into most of my trouble in the body.
We may have worse outside your body.
We might be better off roaming around just out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Brad.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Let me see. I believe we have Jeffrey on the line. Hi, Jeffrey.
Oh, finally. I almost got chatted right out of the hour. Anyway, I wanted to ask the guest, what happens when a person has spent a lot of time in the spiritual world, especially through childhood, and now he has to start coping with the physical world? Is it a lot harder to cope toward the direction of density than toward the direction of spirituality, as most people are...
But you mean by the spirit world, you're aware of that dimension physically with your eyes?
Well, a person is aware of the spiritual world, and then all of a sudden because of a mental illness, and then he's getting well, and he suddenly has to cope with the physical world. Is that a lot harder in this direction than in the usual direction of experiencing the physical world than the spiritual world?
No, I think it's better to remain in your body and be aware and study those other aspects.
All right, Jeffrey, I wish we could...
So it's all abreast.
I guess we could get into it further, but we just ran out of time. Yeah.
Can we read a poem?
We just ran out of time to read the poem. We're going to have you back. Will you come see us
sure,
and read the poem?
All right.
And get the book, would you? Through the Curtain, and you'll love it. And thank you, Dr. Caragula, for being with us.